Welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs here on KFM Radio with Rick and Adam. We are here on the third Wednesday every month. This happens to be the third Wednesday of May.
Hey, what do you know?
So we're here.
Isn't that weird how that works?
Oh, and we've got a disco. I think the disco ball's been there. Just for some reason, it's lighting up.
You're just more observant today.
I guess. All right. So phone number today on KFM is 241-8801 extension 1. If you have a question about anything technology related, give Adam and I a call. You can tweet us at Talking Digital is Adam or at Help Me Rick is me. And we'll also answer questions via Twitter. So you can do that as well. So Twitter or call us. We have a caller that called right before the show started. Yeah. So we're going to go right to them.
Hey, welcome to the Castellini on Computers on KFM. What can we do for you?
I got a question about Second Copy.
Sure.
I use it. I've been using it for a few years, and the other day I happened to have occasion to look at the profiles after I got through running, and it has every one of them has source file folders empty.
Source files folder empty.
Well, the ones that I was trying to back up.
Okay.
And I went to take a look in the folders itself on my main, on the computer itself, and everything was there.
And they're not empty. Okay, just real quick to catch up with the caller's question, Second Copy is a backup program, a very good backup program. You can customize and have it back up to an external hard drive or a second hard drive, things like that. So what I think I would do in your case, if it's giving you, are you sure it's telling you source file is empty? That's the exact error?
That's the exact error. It's what they say.
Okay, then what I would do is create another new profile, base it on one of your smaller folders, and have it back up to your whatever destination drive you're using, and run that particular profile and see if it gives you the same error on the new profile.
Okay.
If it doesn't and the new profile works fine, then probably something just has gotten corrupt in those other profiles, and you're just going to have to remove them and rebuild them from scratch.
Okay.
I've had to do that a lot with Second Copy in the past, where you just have to scrap it and just rebuild it from scratch, and then it works. Sometimes it happens because of a Windows update,
right,
or a Second Copy update, that it just kind of scrambles things.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Yep, test it with a small new one, and I think you'll be in good shape.
Okay, fine.
All right, thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That's how you do it. You can call us at 941-970 if you're listening out of the area, by the way. 970-241-8801, extension 1. And that's here at the KFM studios. We will get you on the line. We do not have the ability to take more than one call at a time. So if you call and it's busy or it keeps ringing and somebody else is on the line, just wait till they're off the line, call us back, and we'll hook you right back up into the show and get your questions answered about anything technology-related, whether it be Facebook, whether it be you have viruses. I took care of another person this morning, Adam, that got taken by one of the fake antiviruses.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are starting to get hit with emails that look like they're from your friends,
mm-hmm,
but they end up being a video link or a website,
right,
link that takes you to a site that will then infect you.
Exactly, yeah.
And a lot of people ask me, well, why, if I have antivirus on my computer, why is that not catching it? And the reason why is the way these guys write these programs is if we click on that, if we click on it and say we want that, we being the owners of the computer and quote unquote the administrators of the computer, that gives them pseudo clearance to run roughshod on your computer.
Right.
So it basically tells your security, overlook this, I'm approving it. And even though you have no clue what it is and you didn't want to approve it, there's just no way for that to stop. There's no way for any protection out there to save us from ourselves.
Right, because all antivirus software has a part in it that says, you know, if the person gives permission for this to happen,
right,
allow it. Otherwise, the antiviruses would block us from putting on Microsoft Word or a program that we wanted. So in putting those viruses on along the way, whether you know it or not, maybe they trick you into doing it, but there's some code in there that basically gives the antivirus or tells the antivirus that you've given permission for that to install. Once you've got it on there, go to helpmerick.com.
Yeah. and luckily the tools that the good guys have come out with have gotten a little bit easier to use and a little bit more accurate at getting rid of this stuff,
right,
fairly quickly and completely.
Yeah, well, the Microsoft Security Essentials package, mm-hmm, and the Windows malicious software removal tool. Those two things, I mean, those work pretty well. I mean, of all the stuff that's out there that's off the shelf and free tools.
And they work well on Windows XP on up. So, and if you're not immune to it, even with Windows 7, they keep telling you Windows 7 is safer. It's not. Tomorrow I'm going to go visit a young lady who had a problem with Windows 7 with this same kind of stuff.
Yeah, if anything, it makes it harder to run the removal tools when it's on Windows 7.
And sometimes what people really, the biggest misconception that the bad guys take advantage of is, and Adam, I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, is I never open up emails from people I don't know.
Yep.
And that's an okay thing, but what that's also saying is that you have no problem opening mail from people you do know.
Right.
And those are the folks that usually you're going to get the problems from, and it's not that they're sending it to you on purpose. It's called spoofing. And what happens is once an email address has been infiltrated or found out by the bad guys, and they know that you're in their address book, which is for many of dozens of reasons, they're going to send you a link or something that looks like it's from your friend. And now with Facebook, that's been another issue where people will get Facebook messages supposedly from friends. And they're all designed, called social engineering. They're designed to get you comfortable enough with the name that you're going to click on the link despite how goofy the message might sound.
Right.
So be aware. Be careful. It seems like we have to talk about security every month, but I think it's one of those things that we have to keep pounding.
Yeah, and I think it's getting worse and worse because people have more online that they're risking all the time between Facebook and between, you know, this online storage and all these different things. We have more on the internet. We have more to lose now,
right?
Which means the bad guys have more to gain by hacking through it. So it becomes, it's just going to be an ongoing game. I don't think there's ever going to be anything that's completely secure.
Well, and speaking of security, and we talked a little about this last month with passwords and so forth, but a lot of people ask about online storage and doing things and online banking. How safe is it? And I always tell folks it's as safe as you make it.
Yeah.
If you're using the same password on everything that you use, and that password's easy to guess, that's not very secure.
Yeah.
But if you're mixing up your password, you're trying to use non-dictionary words, you're mixing upper and lower case, you're using special characters, if the site allows it, those are all things that are going to help you.
Yeah, I think a good example of that is not using the same password between banks, although that's dangerous. But I think it's when you use the same password when you set up an account at your college, as you use when you set up an account
at your bank. Right.
That's where human eyes are probably going to see that somewhere along the line. Maybe you buy a little trinket on the internet through a website or something like that, something where you don't know whether people are going to see that password. You know, some shady employee of one of those places could take that username and password list and just try it out as many places as they can get it to work. And so it's not that the bank is going to lose your information or something like that. It's when humans get involved and humans have access to that. And if you can't guarantee that humans aren't seeing it, then you're in trouble.
And those are the sites that you want to really try to avoid, because if a human can see your password, that's never good.
Right.
But if you get a situation like there was something the other day, Bresnan emailed that, and I think they can see your password if they want, but their policy is if you lose your password, they just make you reset it.
Yeah, they make you reset it and create a new one.
Right. And so that's generally the case with most sites. Mosey.com is a good one for the online backup that you and I support and like, and Carbonite, same thing. If you lose your password, the employees don't have access to that. That's part of your security. So they can't access anything because you're the only one that knows the password. If you lose the password, the only way you can get into your data is to reset the password. And with those kinds of secure sites, there's layers of security with secret questions and your email address and things like that. So be careful. Be very careful out there. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. Or you can Twitter us, at HelpMeRick is me, and at TalkingDigital is Adam. And we are monitoring those lines to see if we have questions.
I'm looking at one right now as people are ringing in. So let's go ahead. Hello, you're on Castellini on Computers, Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
KFM, Grand Junction. Noon to one.
What is it?
Exactly.
We answer questions.
We have a Mac, and it goes to sleep, you know, whenever it's not being used. And like, when you come in and wake it up in the morning, it is just groggy and does not want to wake up.
And this is a Mac.
And it's a Mac.
How old?
Yeah. Go ahead. How old is it?
Let's see, probably 3 years old.
Oh, so it's not real old.
No, it's not real old. Got a 2.4 gigahertz Intel.
Oh, well, yeah, it's really new. What? How do you wake it up? Do you hit the keyboard, move the mouse? Yeah. What are you doing to wake it up?
Just tap on the space bar.
Okay.
Now, do you leave a lot of programs running before it goes to sleep?
Only a couple, usually. I'll have, like, AOL and Firefox.
Ah, there's our culprits. Because Internet programs do take up a lot of RAM, both AOL and Firefox. That's okay. the one negative that Firefox has had since version 3 is that it does take up a lot of resources. And if you have a tendency to keep a few tabs open within Firefox and it is running when you're putting your computer to sleep, you're going to find it's going to wake up groggier. I think what I would do is close your programs before it goes to sleep and then test that, see how that works out. And I think you're going to find that's going to work a lot better.
Yeah.
The other thing, what I can recommend, there's a set of Mac cleanup tools called Onyx. O-Y-N-X, I think.
O-N-Y-X.
Or O-N-Y-X.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Onyx. Yeah, I pronounced it right and spelled it wrong. O-N-Y-X. And it's a little set of cleanup tools, and it'll clean out temporary files and things like that. And Apple does a lot of that on its own just when your computer is in the resting state. But if you want to do just a little more thorough cleanup, you can try that. Do you know how much free hard drive space you have on that machine?
I don't know how much free. It's 1 gigabyte.
Now that could have something to do with it, too. If it's only 1 gig, that can also have something to do with it waking up. If you could upgrade it to 2 or 4 gigs, it would probably...
For the RAM, yeah.
Probably run a little quicker.
But definitely close your programs before it goes to sleep, and I think you're going to find that'll help.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You know, and that kind of confirms a suspicion I've had about Apple, about Macs and the Apple operating system for a while. Mm-hmm. I think that it kind of plays the same trick that Windows XP did. You remember everybody talked about how fast Windows XP booted up to the desktop?
Right.
Because they made the icons in the desktop appear very quickly, a lot quicker than Windows 98.
Right.
But it still wasn't usable until the hourglass went away. I think Mac kind of plays the same game.
It loads
to where
things in the back.
It loads everything in the background and doesn't appear on the, you know, screen doesn't come on until the...
It's not reactive,
ready to use, right? And that's what makes you think, wow, this wakes up very fast, because as soon as I saw the screen, I could use it.
Right.
And I kind of think that's what's happening there. I think upgrading the RAM and shutting down the
background programs
will work well.
Should work okay.
Cool.
Do you have a Twitter question?
No.
Oh, I thought you said you had a Twitter question. You said you were monitoring, I thought.
I am, but I didn't. Nope.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Going to say something else, I guess. I don't know. Who knows?
I do have a tweet from John Guitar Man.
Oh, yeah.
Who said that Twitter just released a official iPhone app. Just went live today.
Oh, did it?
So I haven't downloaded it yet.
I knew it was coming. That's just an update of Tweety 2, right?
No. This is Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Twitter bought Tweety.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Twitter bought Tweety,
and
they're re-releasing it as their own app. That's what all the scuffle was about on Twitter, because Twitter always said, we're not going to get into the app business. We're just going to let our API out there.
I didn't hear about the bot.
Yeah, it was during, it was right about the time of South by Southwest. Twitter bought Tweety, and
Tweety, for those that we're talking about Twitter, a lot of people don't know about it.
Break it down so people understand what we're talking about.
Go ahead and tell them.
Okay.
Tell them what Twitter is.
Twitter is...
And I'll explain what Tweety is.
Twitter... Well, you give me the hard one. Twitter is where people
crafty.
Can... Twitter is where people can post short messages about anything, which isn't very much by itself, but once you get millions of people using it, it becomes a very good source for finding out information, whether it's news or business information, what the best place is to get coffee somewhere, you know, something like that. That's what Twitter is. It's just a way of people collectively post, individually posting a whole bunch of information, one or two sentences at a time. And because of the amount of people doing it, it becomes a collective bank of information.
Right. And so what Tweety is an application for the iPhone that has been pseudo the one to go with. I mean, there are a lot of people use it because they like it. There's gazillions of applications for the iPhone and the iPad to allow you to manage your Twitter. But Tweety has been one that has been consistently one of the top downloads and the top one that people like to use because it's quick and it's easy to use and easy to work with. But as Adam just said, Twitter, the company Twitter, has bought that number one program, Tweety. So that's kind of interesting. So I'm searching for it right now. If I find it, I'll install it and tell people what I think of it. Yeah, there it is, twitter.com. So I'm going to download that here live on the air. But in the meantime, you can call us 241 8801 extension 1, 970-241-8801 extension 1. We'll answer any of your questions about technology, and we'd be glad to have you tweet us as well. Adam is at Talking Digital, and I am at Help Me Rick, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Now, let's see, what else? I was thinking of other items that are hitting the news, and right now, as we're on the air, there's a lot of Google news coming up, and that's because it's the Google I.O. conference where Google kind of let Apple, what was the Apple one? The
Macworld, no, not
Macworld. Kind of like Macworld or something like that. It's a, or the Worldwide Developers Conference. Mm-hmm. It's just a big Google convention where Google announces all the new stuff that they're working with. The big news, the stuff everyone cares about. This is going to crash Google by us mentioning this, but Google
our
Wave.
Our gazillions of listeners.
Yeah, Google Wave is now open to the public. Don't everybody go at once. It's a Google Wave is.
When did you log into Google Wave last?
I don't have any idea. Although you shut down Buzz, and I still have Buzz open, and Leo Laporte's the only guy who ever talks and does anything on Buzz. But it's an interesting thing, and I can't even begin to describe it. It's a way of document sharing and sharing widgets between multiple people.
This is where
I don't even know how to explain it.
Technology is the one part of my world where I like centralization,
right?
Because there gets to be so many fragments that it gets hard to figure out. My dad is here from New Mexico joining Ab and I in studio, and he doesn't own a computer. And I'm sure he's listening to all this, and it's just blah, 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 blah. Is that right? Yeah. He says yes.
There you go. But, so did you get him a Windows smartphone?
Yeah, he's going to help. Yeah, that would be real okay. But yeah, so the Google did. I did see on my Google tweets today that they just revamped just slightly the Google Calendar to make it kind of match more of their Google application updates. And I haven't got to look at it yet. So, but yeah, Google's got a lot of news. Speaking of new releases, we talked a little bit, you and I, just through text messaging this morning, that Office 2010 will be released. I downloaded the beta the other day, or the release. You can download it for free. The release candidate.
Okay.
And my blanket upgrade advice is always don't do it. And I'll talk to you why in a minute.
Hey, let's answer some phone calls. Hi, you're on Public Affairs, Castellini on Computers with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
I was visiting my folks, and they have Windows 98.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
And Avast is on it.
Yeah.
And I Googled Gulf oil spill.
Yep.
And Huffington Post was trying to come up, and it wouldn't ever come up, so I decided just to click out of it. And I found out that I had actually got a virus because I had replicating screens, blank screens, kept coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on that, I was looking at your website, and I just want to make sure. So, on that, I should...
You know, you're going to be in kind of a tight spot if you're using Windows 98.
Yeah, it is Windows 98.
Before you go too much further, because Windows 98, there aren't very many antiviruses that work on Windows 98, and there's not a lot of the tools for removing viruses that work on 98 anymore.
I'm surprised Windows 98 got infected.
Yeah, I am too. I wonder, do you know if CombiFix would work? Or I'm thinking
I don't think so.
It doesn't work on 98, does it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're kind of in a tight spot there because there's not, I think Avast, if it's running on there and if it's the latest version, it may be one of the last antiviruses that actually works on Windows 98.
It's on there.
Yeah, it's, you're kind of in a tight spot.
I would probably boot up in safe mode and try to run your Avast. The other thing I would do is run, if he has any cleanup tools, and you might just have to go into Programs, Accessories, and Disk Cleanup, and use the Windows Disk Cleanup in safe mode to get rid of all temp files, because that alone may help on the Windows 98.
Right.
But yeah, you definitely are in a tough, tough position.
One of the things I like about Avast over the other antiviruses is it does have a boot scan to where you can tell it to scan for viruses on boot up, and I'm not sure where it's at. It's somewhere in the settings. It's pretty deep down in the program, but there's a way that you can enable it so the next time it boots up that it runs an entire virus scan. If you're going to do that, though, make sure that all of your updates, make sure it's completely up to date, because if it's a new virus, and it's running a profile that's.
Are they
much
on
older.
Dial up or are they on high speed?
Dial up.
Wow.
People
oh my gosh.
PC.
People PC, you have a bad mix of everything there.
Oh, they're right.
Yeah. You know, chances are, and since you've said that, chances are that this thing may have been infected for a while. They probably don't use the internet very much, do they?
No, almost never.
Yeah. Okay, see, that's. I bet this has been infected for quite a while, and it's only been the fact that you used the internet that it showed itself, and it's really not going to hurt anything either. If they're not using the internet, they probably won't even notice that it's infected, and it's not like it's doing anything that's going to hurt their computer at all. It's not deleting files or anything like that.
No, and yeah, they really don't have hardly anything on there.
Yeah, I'd just leave it alone.
Well, I'd run the disk cleanup in safe mode and try to run your VAS in safe mode.
Right.
But yeah, beyond that, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, if you can't find it, if it's not getting anything off there, I wouldn't spend a ton of money or anything like that trying to get it cleaned off because the computer just isn't worth it, and they probably won't ever even notice that it's infected since they don't go on the internet.
And safe mode is F8?
Yeah. F8. Yeah, shut the computer off, turn it back on, and just punch F8.
Okay. And then go
to programs and accessories. And then disk cleanup is what you're looking for. Run the Windows disk cleanup. And it might be under system tools, programs, accessories, system tools. I don't know if Windows 98 had system tools. I think it was just under disk cleanup.
I don't remember. It's been so long.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Windows 98-ness.
Yeah.
But try that. Run your Avast in safe mode, and I think that's about all you're going to be able to do.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. He's going to need it. All right.
Yeah.
We'll talk about why I do not recommend the upgrade to Office 2010. We'll get Adam's thoughts on that as well. But should we do the KFM calendar?
Yeah, we need to do the KFM calendar here. Let me make sure I'm pushing the right button to get you started. And here we go.
The KAFM Arts and Entertainment Calendar is underwritten by the Grand Junction Commission on Arts and Culture, dedicated to providing a climate for arts and culture to thrive and grow in our community. Here's what's going on. Wednesday, May 19th, Greener Grass performs at the Doubletree Hotel. It's open mic night at the Palisade Brewery. Thursday, May 20th, Real Time at the Radio Room presents the documentary Mine. The Doubletree Hotel presents Thursday Night Trivia with the Ninja. Friday, May 21st, the Palisade Brewery is featuring live acoustic music. Stonefed performs at the Doubletree Hotel. Ann and Pete Sibley appear at the Paradise Theater in Paonia. Saturday, May 22nd, Leslie Kernochin performs at the Radio Room at KAFM. Manny Toro appears at Enzo's Pizzeria. The Gears and Beers Festival takes place at the Paradise Theater in Paonia. Sunday, May 23rd, the Centennial Band presents Music on the Monument at the Devil's Kitchen Amphitheater. The Gears and Beers Festival is happening at the Paradise Theater in Paonia. This week in the galleries, a variety of artists and photographers have works on display at City Hall. The gallery at the Radio Room is exhibiting photographs from the members of the Thunder Mountain Camera Club. The Art Center features the display Woven Heritage, Discovering a Native People. The Blue Pig Gallery presents the Art of Wax exhibit. To submit your event to the KAFM Entertainment Calendar, you can call 241-8801 or send an email to entertainment@kafmradio.org. Thanks for listening.
I'm thinking so.
Moving on.
Welcome back to Rick and Adam Talk Tech. You can give us a call like some of the other folks did, 241-8801.
I think we just need to invent a new name for the show every single time we...
I like our long, drawn-out name that just confuses people. Just listen on the third Wednesday every month.
Yeah.
Here on KFM. Or if you're online, you can listen at kfmradio.org.
It's the third Wednesday, Adam and Rick Talk Tech. Castellini on computers.
HelpMeRick.com, TalkingDigital.org. We'll just really confuse you.
We are all over the place, man. You have a hard time avoiding us.
During the break, I did download the new update from Twitter/Tweety.
Yes.
And it looks just like Tweety.
Yeah, it's supposed to, except for it has a few, there's supposed to be a few little extras, upgrades, like little nags that it brings up and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't seen it yet, but yeah, it looks very similar.
Yeah, it's apparently it stands out when you do find it, but that's what people have said so far. So cool. The beta people have all said that.
Very good. So yeah, you can tweet Adam at help me at Talking Digital. You can tweet me at Help Me Rick. I can tell you they got a new trending screen. Yeah. The cool. Trending screen's very cool. And trending at the moment is the official Twitter app, believe it or
ooh,
not.
Ooh, what do you know?
And VP8. What's VP8? Do you have any idea?
No, but I... Oh, yeah. No, VP8, I don't know. I was thinking of...
I'll look that up while we're talking. But you can give us a call.
That's why I like... If you like Twitter and mm-hmm. you want to try doing something a little different, there's a website called Grizzly, Grizzly,
mm-hmm.
that it looks just like Twitter, but it's a little bit enhanced. So over where the trending topics are...
Mm-hmm.
It shows you why that topic is trending, which I think Twitter should do, but they don't.
Oh, VP8 Ahura S open source. It's the VP8 video codec. I guess that's what you mentioned.
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's related to that.
Yeah. Google spent $124.6 million to get that codec developed.
That's funny that that's actually a trend. That's really how geeky Twitter is.
Yep.
All right, so helpmerick.com is our website. My Twitter is at helpmerick. Adam's Twitter is at Talking Digital. We have not got a Twitter question, just the Twitter information from John Guitarman so far. But we love to answer questions via Twitter, so you can send those to Adam or I. And you can call us the good old-fashioned way, 970-241-8801, extension 1. And that will get you right into Adam and I.
Smartphone market has a 36% penetration, just so you know.
Most all smartphones are
21% iPhone
mm-hmm.
and Android 28%. How about that?
Interesting. That's out of the 36%.
Cool. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Something, back to Office 2010 from Microsoft.
Yes. Yes. So we were going to talk about that.
My blanket, easy to understand statement is don't do it. And I wrote an article this week on helpmerick.com on why. Number one, and I'll give you just a quick synopsis. Number one, whatever you're currently using is probably fine. That's number one.
If it types letters when you type and has spell check,
that's all you need. Most people, that's all they need.
Yep.
Now, again, we're talking mostly for our home users that we deal with the most. Home users, small business users that don't have a lot of high-tech needs for their word processor. And the fact of the matter is, I truly believe that over 90% of people that use a computer in an office or outside an office mm-hmm. for their word processing needs don't need anything more than a simple word processor.
Right.
And you need a word processor that does interface with Microsoft Word.
Sure.
Because that is, unfortunately, that is the standard.
The standard .doc format that was invented by Microsoft Word is the standard format. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it needs to be opened by Microsoft Word.
But now it's .docx.
Kind of, yeah.
I know. So that's we don't even go there. But the fact of the matter is, whatever you have now is probably fine. The upgrade is going to cost you $100 to $120 or more.
Yeah.
So unless you love throwing away money,
right,
you don't need to do it.
Yep.
Number two, there's good free alternatives. One of the number one is OpenOffice.org, which is a free download that is completely compatible with Microsoft Word and Excel and PowerPoint. Or you can use some of the new and upcoming online apps, which are Zoho.com and Google Documents. Now, speaking of the online apps, that's one of the new things that Microsoft is trying to do to keep Microsoft Office fresh and to keep part of their cash cow running. And that is, they are releasing a web version of their Office product integrated into their desktop product. And it doesn't work real seamlessly. It is, looks nice. They're trying to make it work as good as possible in alternative browsers, but they do really want you to work in Internet Explorer.
Right.
And as we all know, Internet Explorer is not quite as polished as some of the other browsers, and definitely
it's
not as fast.
Severely bad. That's what I think.
I agree.
I have hardly used it. I've been on a Mac now for over a year. And so now that I'm a Mac guy, every time I use Internet Explorer, I realize how bad it is. It really is bad. I mean, it doesn't take very long at all once you've been on Firefox or Safari to realize how bad Internet Explorer is.
Mm.
And
not to mention, not very safe.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. All right, 241-8801 extension 1. But there's our non-recommendation of the month.
Yep.
Do not upgrade to Office 2010. It is not necessary.
Cool. All right.
Now, you talked a little bit earlier, Adam, about privacy in Facebook.
Yeah, I thought maybe bringing that up.
That's been a big thing.
So many people are moving into Facebook, and I think that there's
so many people that aren't computer savvy.
Right. They really are. And there's so much about Facebook that people need to know. It's not as complex as what people make it sound like. It's fairly simple, but getting into Facebook is so easy. You're automatically tied in. You find friends, and it opens up a channel of communication for a lot of people who don't want to talk through phones all the time and don't want to email all the time. Facebook makes a nice centralized place where people can bring together their communication. The bad part is Facebook keeps adding features. And as they add features, they reset your privacy settings, which means when you share a photo on Facebook, you may at one time have said, I only want to share photos with my friends or my family or whatever.
As a global setting.
And you might have set that. But every time Facebook does a change, they reset those settings to defaults.
Very irritating.
So you have to go back in and change those settings. But not only that, they add more settings that you have to go through and really make sure they're and Google or sorry, Facebook is trying to make it so that whenever you visit a website, that you'll have a little indicator that tells you how many of your Facebook friends like that site. And I think that's kind of cool, but at the same time, that means that they're sharing somehow. They're keeping a database of what websites you like
they're
and
following
where you
around.
Like to go. So it's, Facebook is, if you haven't gone into the settings and the privacy settings of Facebook, it's worth doing and just go through. And even if you don't know a lot about it, still monitor it pretty closely and make sure that you're sharing with the people you want to share with. Let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on KFM Public Affairs Computer Talk with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
There's another new one.
Hey, this is David Powell.
Hey.
I have iBook G4.
Okay.
And recently I've been getting notifications on my browser is under attack. And along with this came something from called Microsoft Silverlight browser plugin.
Yeah.
You're getting that on your Mac?
Yeah.
Are you using Internet Explorer on that Mac i4? G4, I mean?
No, you're probably using Safari.
Safari.
Are you going to Netflix or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. There's a in order for Netflix to work, there is a Silverlight plugin that you have to install to get Netflix to work. So it's not an attack at all. It's just you need to update your Silverlight plugin. Yeah. You're okay. Your Mac's not under attack.
All right. So I can go ahead and.
Yep. Yeah. Silverlight is like Microsoft's Flash or Microsoft's QuickTime. It's a little program Microsoft developed to watch videos in a browser.
Okay.
That's only been adopted pretty much by them and Netflix.
Yeah.
That's about which is a weird thing.
Nobody's really using it. And now Google is making their own, so.
So I'm not really under attack.
No, you're not under attack, and I wouldn't worry too much about that at all because you're on a Mac. There's really nothing to worry about there.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
I dread the day that that's not true when Macs are under attack, but right now they just aren't.
So. Well, and the thing is, the more I've read about security, with Macintosh and Linux, because they're both built on Unix, that's the very underpinnings of a Macintosh and a Linux, people always ask me, why not? And a lot of people had the mistaken that it was the numbers, that there weren't as many people using those operating systems.
Security through obscurity, right.
And that's partially true.
Uh-huh.
But the more I've read about the security of Macintosh and Linux, because that underpinning is such a secure basis that even if 90% of people used a Mac or a Linux computer, because of the way it's built and the way it's secured, it would still be pretty darn safe.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how safe, but I do know that from my reading and studying of the security of computer operating systems, Windows, because it's tried to be everything to all people, and they've had to be so flexible that they've always had a very, I don't want to use the word open because that's a whole different connotation when it comes to Linux, but it's a very holy, I will say, H-O-L-E-Y, not O-H-O-Y. A hole or no W-H-O-L-E. No, H-O. No,
H-O-L-E. It has holes in it, but it's not holy as in
very
spiritual.
Swiss cheese.
There you go.
Very Swiss cheese kind of an
perforated.
Approach. There you go. Perforate's a good word. So the neat thing about a Macintosh, and his question, because he had an older Mac.
Right.
I was thinking he was using the old Mac version of Internet Explorer.
Right. Right.
And that there may be some kind of weird thing.
It certainly could have been, but it sounded to me like it was...
The Netflix.
Netflix, yep. Because I know Netflix nags me about the Silverlight thing occasionally.
Do they update it frequently?
No.
Okay.
No, but he probably just started it or something like that. So,
Very good. Well, 241-8801, extension 1, or 970-241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number here at KFM. We have about 20 more minutes left, so if you have questions, feel free to call us, or you can tweet Adam at Talking Digital or me at Help Me Rick. We'll have this up as a podcast later at helpmerick.com, and Adam also puts it up at his site,
yep,
talkingdigital.org.
Hey, let's get to the phones again. Hello, you're on Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
I have a couple questions for
okay,
you.
Okay, you got it.
And one is, I just recently started to have internet at home.
Okay.
And I'm constantly getting updates sent in, you know, like, well, do not turn your computer off. There's 39 updates to
yep,
come in.
Yep.
There's 18 updates. There's all these things. Is that okay, or should I figure out a way to stop them coming in?
No, and those are Windows updates. Are you using Windows XP?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
I heard you talking about that a little while ago. I think it's XP.
Because you've had your computer how long?
About 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so it's Windows XP, and if you've just recently gotten the internet, there will be literally hundreds of updates that you're going to need to catch up on, and they'll come in blocks of 10, 20, 30 at a time. And so are you? Sounds like you're on a high-speed connection.
No.
Oh, you're not?
No.
You're on a dial-up connection?
Oh, okay. I'm not on high speed. I'm not, yeah. Okay, yeah, I was on dial-up. We were going to get dial-up, and now we're on wireless.
Okay, so that's fine. Yeah, so that's a high speed.
Slow wireless.
That's considered high speed,
oh,
though.
Okay.
Anything that's not dial-up is considered high speed.
Okay.
Even if it's a slow high speed.
Okay. Yeah, we tried the dial-up.
They need to make medium speed, but they don't really call it that.
We tried the dial-up and it just, you know, wasn't...
Yeah, dial-up just doesn't work
anymore.
Yeah,
the term they usually use is broadband. Anything that's not dial-up is broadband, which is much faster than telephone lines.
Okay, so let it keep doing all those updates.
Yeah, and you could stop it, but you really need it. A lot of those updates are for security,
okay,
and you're going to need them, and it'll help secure that computer. Make sure you do have a good up-to-date antivirus, though, on your system.
Well, I haven't put anything like that on yet, and somebody told me about something called AVG that's free.
Yes, AVG works well.
Is that a good one?
You can search for free AVG at my website, helpmerick.com, or you can search for another one that's good, is Microsoft Security Essentials. And you can search for that at my website as well, and I have instructions on how to install it, where to get it, so that you get the right one.
Okay.
Okay,
because I'm not sure how to... upload or
you know, since you're new to all this, I'll just give you my two cents. I would really lean more towards the Security Essentials than the AVG.
And it's called Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yep, and it's first thing that come up if you type it right in Google or Help Me Rick.
That why?
It doesn't nag you as much. It doesn't ask you as many questions that you're not sure about the answer to.
Oh, which I probably won't be.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, and that's nothing against you. It's just the program itself asks a lot of stuff and has a lot of little nags that come up and say, do you want to buy this or that? And
Confuses people.
Microsoft just runs and doesn't nag you at all. So.
Well, some came up and asked me if I was POP 3 or something, and I had no clue if I was a POP 3.
That'd be an email thing, yeah.
I don't know that stuff. So,
yep.
You know, I'm just getting some email stuff set up. And the other thing you were just mentioning, Internet Explorer is not as safe as something called Firefox.
Right.
Well, my computer has the button for Internet Explorer. Is Firefox something I have to go out and buy? And
nope.
Is it expensive?
You have to download it from the Internet. It's a free download.
And
again, if you go to helpmerick.com and just search for Firefox, or actually Adam and I are both leaning more and more towards Google Chrome. And it's Chrome, Google Chrome.
All one word?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because I've never done any of that kind of stuff. I just sort of had email on the dial-up, and it was just text email. I mean, I wasn't getting pictures and stuff.
If you get too far underwater and you just get too overwhelmed, there's always folks out there like myself that can come into your home and help you with your computer.
Right. Right. Okay. So.
All right.
If I go to helpmerick.com, you'll explain how to put the virus on.
Yep.
I should get something, either that Microsoft Security or the AVG or something.
That's right.
And have that. And why is Firefox more safe than Internet Explorer?
There's a lot of reasons. It's also more functional. Number one, it's more functional. But number two, it does have a lot of more safety features built in because, again, Internet Explorer, as we were talking about earlier, is holy, H-O-L-E-Y, has a lot of Swiss cheese holes to it that the bad guys can take advantage of more so than the other browsers.
Okay, well, that's something that made me call in. Usually I can't catch but your last 5 minutes or so, but today I caught more of you.
Good.
So, and the other thing was somebody told me that now that I have internet, I shouldn't do everything just under my login, that I should make something called an administrator who doesn't do anything, and I do everything still under my name.
Well,
and I was a little confused on that. They said something about to be safe, you should have two accounts on your machine.
Well, that's it could be confusing. No, don't listen to that advice.
Well, it was confusing for me because I couldn't figure out how to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. There's lots of different advice that you're going to get and things you can do, but in the long run, the more complex you make it, the less secure you're going to be because you're not going to understand that complexity.
You got it.
So the big thing is keep it simple. Keep it – and security has a lot to do with being simple. If you try to get too crazy with all the things you're doing, it's just not going to work for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm basically just wanting it for looking a few things up because there's so many places now if I call – their phone is nothing but a machine that says go to www.whatever.
Right, right.
Even city and county questions now.
Yep, yep. So, you need to have, unfortunately, that internet connection becomes more and more needed today, just almost as much as a telephone line.
Well, and that's what I'm realizing. My grandparents were probably the kind of fought getting the telephone, so.
Exactly.
Anyway, I guess I've got that stubborn trait. I don't need that, but getting where you need it. So you would suggest going ahead and trying to, I'll come to, like, helpmerick.com. And what was the other one with Adam?
TalkingDigital.org.
Yeah, mine's not really a computer help site, though. You're not going to find much news there. It's mostly just
entertainment.
Entertainment, yeah.
Talking Digital. I'm not probably
you'll find this podcast there and things like that. But it's you'll find more at helpmerick.com as far as the answers to your questions.
Especially as being a beginner, and if I'll read your articles, I'll probably think, oh, do I have to have that too?
Well, you'll have, and the nice thing is I put up the articles and videos so that not only can you read the step by step, but you can watch it being performed so that you can then mimic it.
Okay.
All right.
I know I used to read your articles in the paper.
Oh, good.
I don't think you're in there anymore, are you?
No, I haven't been in the paper for a long time.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I used to read that, and there was another guy, I forget who that was. I didn't understand any of it. So I was reading it thinking, someday I'm going to have to know all this stuff. So.
Well, very good. Well, we appreciate you calling in. Good luck.
Okay, and I'll try that Microsoft Security. I'll look at your site for the how to do all this, it sounds like.
Yep.
Thank you very, very much.
Good luck.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
241-8801, extension 1, 970-241-8801, extension 1.
Don't feel like you have to learn everything just because you're new to it. You know, I was watching this show. The History Channel's been running a History of America serial. It's kind of a half-drama, half-documentary sort of thing about America's most developmental things, you know, things that changed as it, along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how when people first got cars, that people would just, they'd take their cars apart and they would just, because they wanted to know about these cars so much and they were so used to, you know, kind of the farmer mentality of trying to understand everything behind the work that they did.
Right.
And now people don't care about their cars, but I think they still have that same mentality.
They want them to work.
About their computers.
Right.
You know, they want to know what makes them work and how, now I have to understand everything now that I have one. Hello, you're on Public Affairs Community Radio with Rick and Adam doing technology talk. What can we do for you?
Good afternoon. Hey, enjoy your program.
Thank you.
It's very helpful. Well, my question is, I have Windows Vista on my Dell computer, and I don't like it.
Okay.
Welcome
and,
to the cloud.
I'm thinking of changing operating system to Linux.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And now, when I download that Linux, will that wipe out any Windows?
Yep. Well, you have the choice.
Yeah.
Once you create it, once you create the disk and run your computer from that disk and you want to install it, it's going to ask you, do you want to run Linux side by side with Windows? And you can go either way. Or do you want to wipe your computer hard drive free or clean and then start with Linux only? So you'll have that choice.
What do you suggest? It depends on
how brave you are, and if you have your data backed up and you say, I really don't need anything in Windows, I just need to do email and internet and word processing and my digital photography and things like that, I would say if you're not happy with Vista, wipe it out and start with Linux by itself.
Okay. How about like printer software? You know, I had a sent for a
What kind of printer do you have?
Hewlett Packard.
Most Hewlett Packards, and that's a nice thing about Linux, and I have to say, to me, Windows 7, the new Windows from Microsoft, has taken a lot of the great features from Linux and Apple and integrated them into Windows in a good way. They've done a good job with it. Where when you plug in devices like your printer with Linux, it's going to automatically find it and install what it needs to use it.
Oh,
so
cool.
You're not going to have to install extra software.
All right. That sounds like a winner.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
A lot of calls today. That's cool.
Yeah, that's great. Keep calling. We have about 10, 15 more minutes. Keep calling. 970-241-8801, extension 1. And Linux, for those people that haven't heard of it, Adam and I have talked about it over the years off and on. But as you were just saying, Adam, people want their technology to work, whether it be a car, their refrigerator, right, their toaster. We don't have as many people doing repair work on their own stuff anymore because everything's gotten so complex.
Or building them from scratch.
Right. Because it's gotten so complex, and people want to use their computer. And the funny thing is they want to use it as a toaster or a TV where it just works.
Right.
But at the same time, it's much more complex than a TV or a toaster.
Yeah.
And they feel like they need to do it on their own. There's this whole complexity of to how much they try to do on their own versus what they really should be doing on their own.
Right.
And it makes it more of a difficult task for them. Yeah. Than if they approach it a different way.
I think part of it is that your computer certainly has more complications per day or whatever you want to say than your car does. And so people, I think, hesitate to spend the money to get it fixed right and things like that, too. So, hello, you're on Computer Public Affairs Show with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a question for you regarding a Hotmail account that I've had for a while.
All right.
And what's happened is some site or sites have captured my email account and sends out unwanted like ads to people on my sent list.
Right, right.
As well as anyone that's on my saved
your address
email
book.
Account. Mm-hmm. Address, uh-huh. Right.
Now, have you gone in and changed your password on Hotmail?
No, what I ended up doing is just changing to a different
system altogether.
Email account. I went with a Gmail.
Okay.
With a Hotmail.
So your question is what?
Well, how would I have prevented that other than deleting? What I did is delete all my address and sent mail. Would that do the same thing?
Well, more than likely what's happened is somehow someone got a hold of your one of two things. Either they got a hold of your address book because you had an infection. It's very hard with the web-based mail. Did you bring your Hotmail into Outlook or something like that?
No, it was strictly
you did it all on the web?
Hotmail.
You did it all through the browser?
Right.
Okay. More than likely what happened is your password somehow got compromised, whether they found out your password through some kind of an infection you had on your computer or whether you had a malicious coworker or friend somehow get into your account. You know, there's multiple ways that happen, but the best way to stop that is go in and change your password immediately and also change your security questions related to that account. Because what happened to you is basically what happened to Sarah Palin last year during the election cycle, is she had an easy to guess security question for her email account and an easy to guess password. So the person was able to go in and reset the password so they could get into it or find out the password, they could get into it, and then sent out emails from her account. And that's probably very similar to what happened to you. So the best thing to do, again, is change a password, change your security questions immediately.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
All right. You're going to like Gmail better, though, I think.
Yeah.
I think Gmail works so much nicer than the Hotmail.
Yes, well, I'd had that Hotmail account for too long.
Okay.
I like the Gmail.
It's time to purge. All right, good deal.
Well,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
And let's try another one. Hello, are you still there? This is Rick and Adam on Public Affairs KFM.
Yes.
Good deal. What can we do for you?
I've come up with an interesting situation on my desktop computer. In starting it up in the mornings, it runs through all of its processes, gets to the black screen page that tells you that all your stuff is there.
Uh-huh.
And the last thing it does is it tells me that I have a disk missing which would be disk A, which is nothing but the old floppy disk drives, and it says I have to skip it in order to continue. I have no idea where it came from or how it even got into that, and it says I have to push F1 to continue, and once I do that, everything goes on and runs fine.
Okay, so this is a message you're getting before you get into Windows.
Yes, it's actually at the startup.
Yep. So what you're going to have to do is get into what's called the BIOS.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever been there, but the BIOS for all computers is a little section of our computer that tracks all the hardware on our system. And it also keeps track of the clock, by the way. But on your particular system, you're going to have to see what key combination it is that you need to get into the BIOS, probably delete or F2 on your keyboard. Could be Escape. It could be F10. What brand of computer do you have?
It's a Dell.
So it's probably on a Dell F1, Adam? F1 or...
It could be F2.
Probably F2 or F2.
F2 or delete.
Yeah.
It'll tell you when it first comes. It should tell you, but try F12, F2, delete.
I just always do all of them.
Yeah, delete F12, F2, and Escape. Try any of those.
And then once you're in there, you can tell it to stop looking for the floppy disk and also go to the boot order is the other place you want to go to in your BIOS and disable it from even looking to a floppy. Okay.
All right, I can do that. Yeah, I guess.
All right. Yeah, give that a shot. Go into BIOS, just disable. You'll find in there where you can tell it to stop looking for a floppy disk, particularly in the boot order area. It'll say boot order. Or it'll say boot.
It usually says boot. You'll see when you see it, it should say boot.
Yeah.
I don't think it says startup or anything like that. I think it says boot. Boot sequence, something
that's
like that.
Yeah, it could be boot sequence.
Yeah, and just it'll just be a checkbox, or you'll have to go. You might have to do some funky key work and get
page down, minus, plus,
yeah, something to get it to disappear. But you'll just read the instructions there, and it'll tell you exactly how to do it. But you either want to remove it completely so it doesn't even try to boot up off the A drive, or move it to the bottom of the list so that it boots off the hard drive first.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Or just keep hitting F1. When it does, it tells you to.
Now, right. Back real quickly to the Facebook. We got a lot of calls after you talked about the Facebook.
Sure.
If you want to look for your security settings in Facebook, you log into your Facebook.
Yep.
And I think it's the upper right-hand corner.
Right. Yep.
You click Account.
Mm-hmm.
And then under Account, you go to Privacy Settings.
Yeah, there's a Privacy Settings. In fact, I'd go into all those areas because you'll find all kinds of apps and all that. If you accidentally added an app at some point, which apps are like little games you can play and things like that, that's the place where you go to remove those apps.
Right.
If you keep getting reminders about some event that happened a year ago. Or
if you're tired of Farmville.
Like, man, that's the one thing that I would love to just teach people how to do that, how to hit block this application.
Mm-hmm.
I never get any of those invites when I'm on Facebook. Everybody else, you know, and they don't know how to get rid of them, but if you just go in there and hit ignore or block this application.
And it's a little button on the side of that,
or
of that notification.
Link, a little link underneath it, too, that just says block this application. And you'll never get, no matter who invites you to it,
right.
You'll never get it.
You'll never see Mafia Wars again.
The other thing I always tell people is that your friend who invited you will never know that you had blocked it.
Unless their corn withers and dies.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think they're going to have to worry about it. I think you're okay.
Well, should we wrap it up, Mr. Adam?
Yeah, I think we're about that time. Is there any other items you can think of?
I don't
Google
think
Wave,
so.
Again, Google Wave is now public, people.
Keep that in mind.
That's it. Keep that in mind.
Google Wave will change your world.
And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's about it.
Just visit helpmerick.com to get questions or answers to all your questions, and you'll see the podcast of this later. We had a lot of good questions today. We appreciate
all the calls,
and we didn't have any Twitter questions, just the one Twitter info. But that's okay.
That was cool.
We like the phone calls. Phone calls are nice because we can kind of explore more of the question, which makes it easier for us to get the answers.
Right.
But we'll be back again next month in June on the third Wednesday from noon to 1, Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. And in the meantime, we hope you have a great day and a great rest of May.